Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breakout episode number 38. This is the Escapist Conversation Show about games and movies and live services and dogs. Maybe one of us will talk about dogs today. Who knows? My name is Marty Sleeve, and as always, I'm joined by Nick Calandra and Casey Wosu. I like how I say as always when those weren't the people I was joined by last week. Jamate was here last week.
We no, he's secretly KC.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah, like J-Mate was just me last week. So
yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Just you with a British accent.
Also, boy, Casey was in chat.
That's just me all the time.
He was joining us.
We have a good show for you guys today. As you can see, our main topic we're going to be talking about, sort of the current state of live service games, which games get it right. I know it has like a toxic connotation about it, and a lot of people see the name live service and immediately just want to throw up a little bit in their mouth. But we're going to talk about some of the games that get it right. Definitely talk about some of the games that get it wrong. And I think it's an important conversation because as we move forward, a lot of studios that we all enjoy are hedging their bets on live service games. So we're going to be seeing more and more of them. I'm also going to talk a little bit about there's been some updates to various subscription services like Netflix and some PlayStation Plus rumors that are kind of interesting and almost tie in with the live service stuff. And then we'll, yeah, chat about a bunch of the stuff we've been playing and watching and might even have a little anime. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see how wild we get at 9 o'clock in the morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Something just blew my eye, so that's how I'm doing right now.
Oh no! I thought you were crying because like it was such like an emotional opening by me. Like, it was really.
Well, he started crying because you said anime.
He was the one who initially brought up anime.
I know. He was so filled with joy.
Yeah,
they're happy tears.
He's like, finally.
Nick,
are you
fully prepared to travel around the world in a few days?
Sure.
Yeah.
You don't sound.
I don't know, that didn't sound that sure.
I gotta clean my apartment up. I haven't packed yet. It's okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah. No one's crying. You're not crying. Remember yesterday, Nick played Siege instead of Elden Ring during the editor's hour because, quote, I need to clean my apartment and I don't have time to move my PlayStation from the living room to my bed or my wherever room he's in now. But he said it multiple times and he wrote out that comment, and I'm like, at a certain point you've spent more time explaining this than just taking the thing and moving it to the other room. So
no,
just no.
No.
Skeletor, we see you. Thank you so much for the dono. As always, we appreciate your donations and your memberships and everything. And yeah, get those super chats in. And at the back half of the episode, we'll go over all those. So if you have thoughts on specific live service games, or you just want to derail the conversation at the end, feel free to get those in now. But yeah, we'll start off with that sort of live service topic. It seems like it's something that comes up all the time, like a bunch of the games we play here and a bunch of the big games coming up all have that sort of stipulation of, well, you know, developers just don't want something to be one and done. They want something that can have ongoing revenue, you know, over the course of not only months but years. And that leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth, but we wanted to first focus on some of the games we think get it right. So Nick, I think this was a topic you were interested in. What do you think are some of the games that get live service right?
Right. So we talked yesterday kind of on, the editor's hour about, you know, service games that did it right. And I think Siege is one of those, and I know somebody already threatened to unsub in the chat just for me saying that. So I guess bye bye. I'm one of the people that like, I don't mind the live service model, partially because I'm not enticed to spend all the money on season passes and, you know, the cosmetics and everything. And so like there's that whole model behind live service that kind of self funds it through, I guess, what we would describe as whales. You know, in general, I think games, you know, like Anthem and Battlefield 2042. I mean, there's a whole list of games that just didn't do it right. I think even like the original Destiny didn't do it right. I think there's a lot of games that are thriving because they are doing it right. And like Siege would be at the top of my list for that one, just as a game that has continually provided updates. And I'm not saying it's perfect or anything like that, but I mean, like there's new content every quarter of the year. Once a quarter, there's a new map or a new operator to learn, changes the meta up, keeps introducing new players through like free weekends and everything. I mean, the game's only getting bigger. So I like that when I've played Siege, at least for the first, like, well, we're in year 7 now of that game. For the first like 4 years, I think I never felt super enticed to pay money for anything. Aside if I wanted the new operators early or whatever, and because I played the game so much, it was like, yeah, I'm fine throwing a few bucks at this, you know, once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, it's been a lot more like they've introduced like all the alpha packs and Bravo packs and everything, which are just for cosmetics. So it's not like anything pay to win or whatever. But in general, I feel like the updates are still quite good for the game, and it's well supported. They're communicative on it. They make a lot of changes that the community doesn't agree with, but I mean, that's going to be any game with a meta like Siege where the slightest of changes can piss everybody off. I think, yeah, I know KC's, I'm sure it's going to bring it up, but I think Genshin Impact has done a good job expanding their world and introducing like real tangible content and not just like little updates. And that's all been free, but their whole business model with the gacha model is, of course, shit.
It's kind of a weird dichotomy there because, yeah. Like, yes, on one hand, they're kind of doing everything you would want a live service game to do, especially one that's free. Like, hey, give us as much stuff as you possibly can on an even clip, like, so that just as we're finishing up all the stuff that's there, there's something new for us to jump into. But at the same time, yeah, there's an entire gambling mechanic that you don't have to engage with, but just the fact that it's there is going to encourage the people who are susceptible to that sort of thing to get sucked into it pretty heavy. So like that is bad. And apparently the rates and stuff for like trying to get the stuff you want if you are addicted to the gambling side of it are pretty unforgiving. So that can turn into a nightmare for some players. But
yeah,
I've only had fun with Genshin.
Yeah, I've put probably 15 hours in it. I haven't spent a dime on it or ever felt like I had to do any of that. I think it's you're right. It's like for the people that like have to have those characters and cosmetics and all that kind of stuff. And then
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh damn, I get to go ahead.
Yeah.
Holy shit. What a time to be alive.
You interrupted.
What do you mean I interrupted? I didn't talk for like 45 minutes.
Say your piece.
We're 7 minutes into the episode and I talked for like the first 3 minutes of the episode. I was going to say two things. One was that before anyone comments on it, we're using the term live service like kind of broadly, sort of as any game that has like ongoing released content as well as things you can purchase in them. So we're kind of like using it maybe not in the literal definition, but more in, you know, you know what we mean by live service in your gut when we're talking about a game. So that can be anything from an MMO like, you know, World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy 14 to shooters with a bunch of cosmetics, that kind of thing. But with Genshin, I think one of the important things to me of like what makes a game feel fair versus unfair in terms of its, you know, pay model is like how much enjoyment can I get out of it before I feel like I quote unquote need to spend money. With Genshin, you could get a lot of enjoyment out of it. You know, and you don't, like you said, you don't have to spend money. And I get that same thing. Like the game I spend the most money in is Pokemon Go. And that's a game that you can play without spending any money. But like it's brought me so much joy that I don't mind spending the occasional money or, you know, buying the event pass for $10 a few times a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the games that end up on like this shit list of live service ones are really, I don't know if really any of them have to do with the actual business model of it, aside from like maybe, you know, Destiny kind of sunlighting content, I think, which I think is absolutely wrong and that shouldn't be happening for, I mean, even that pisses me off as somebody that paid money for those expansions.
Yeah.
But I think like most of the games that end up on the shit list are games that never just didn't live up to the promise of what they were supposed to do. Anthem, you know, Battlefield 2042. You know, there's a whole list of those that we can go on about, but I think like the games that are like egregious about it would be like Battlefield 2042 is the one I was shitting on all day yesterday on the editor's hour when we brought that up for basically introduce like the game, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5, or World War 2, whatever the last one was. Yeah, it's called Battlefield 5 because their naming conventions are so stupid. Both of those games had really rough launches and kind of figured it out as they went. And then Battlefield 2042 didn't take those lessons and actually run with it. They just introduced a whole system that it's a live service game because they added in operators and tried to copy off of Siege and other games, and that's what pissed people off immensely, is because like you changed the whole model of the game. Like all Battlefield 2042 had to do to be a successful live service game is release a Battlefield game and release new maps and expansions and put cosmetics on the side. That's all they had to do, and they fucked it up. I think it's incredible.
Do you feel like maybe one method is maybe easier in terms of workload on devs than the other? Like, is maybe they were chasing something that Siege did because maybe it's easier to
mess with
operators and give them cosmetics versus making like whole new maps and game modes.
That's so much harder because the operators in Siege all have their own. It changes the meta every time they introduce a new character. So the entire game like literally changes when a new character is introduced and adds a new ability in. And that's what Battlefield was trying to do. Like Battlefield would have had a much easier time if they just cosmetics and all people wanted were maps. That's all they wanted. They didn't want all this other garbage. And so like a lot of live service games kind of try to shoehorn in these live service elements. And that's when I think people get really angry is when.
Well, I don't know. I think you could make an argument that introducing like hero type characters, even if you know you're just building a brand new character and it does change the gameplay meta, that's a smaller addition that has a bigger impact than just a new map. Like a new map, I feel like, is a big undertaking that requires maybe a lot of work from several studios, like art people, like I don't know, geometry people. I don't know, I'm not a game dev, but like to put something that big into the map, all you're really getting is that map, whereas a new character does change the meta. Like it feels like a much bigger change than it actually is to make.
I don't. That might be an assumption. You know, I don't know if either. I don't know if either of us know, but I think having to rebalance the entire game around a new operator is a bigger undertaking than just making a new map, because you can go in and make. Yeah, you're not going to upset an entire community by introducing a map. It doesn't change the entire meta of a game.
Well, I mean, on that note. I don't think anyone has mentioned, but like Overwatch is also like kind of an amazing example of a successful live service game. And it follows mainly that, like their biggest updates are new characters and they feel like, you know, grandiose events, especially because people love the characters so much, but they also do the map stuff. They do the cosmetic stuff. And like the only kind of like sad part is that it's kind of a blind loot box situation. Like you don't know what it is you're spending your currency on, but then again, you can earn the money, the in-game currency by just playing the game, and you don't have to spend real dollars on it. So like it's kind of the least offensive version of that annoying loot box mechanic.
Speaking of Overwatch, do you guys think because I saw there was an Overwatch 2 beta going on right now or something?
Would Overwatch really be a good example of a live service game? Because I think the community is harshed on it and that it wasn't supported.
Well, that's after what, like 5 years? Like Overwatch was going strong until they announced Overwatch 2. At that point, that's when everything slowed down.
Gotcha.
But like
that's when a lot of stuff until that point slowed down.
That game was always giving out something new.
It's funny how we're going to talk about the positives of live servers and immediately went into the negatives. It's almost like
about a lot of good ones. Yeah. I don't know. It's like a topic that is a little more nuanced than just these are good or bad.
Yeah. Now I like the live service games that, I think once or twice a year you get a nice sizable update that I don't have to like spend every waking minute of my day playing the game. Like I feel like Fortnite is a game that I have no idea what's going on ever if you're not up to date with it every week. There's something going on every week in that game.
Isn't that a good thing? I mean, it is for the people.
I like the games that get incremental updates at least once or twice a year with a big content drop. And that's like kind of what I'm hoping for, like out of Halo Infinite, and like knowing that there's probably a story expansion coming down the line and I can revisit the game, you know, once a year or maybe a few maps. And I think, you know, we were kind of talking about before the podcast going like to like roadmaps for games. Like people are sick of seeing roadmaps, but, you know, it's nice to know that if I'm going to engage in a live service game and they want me to be there for a long time, that I know what's coming. But then there's a trade off of, well, if I know what's coming and then it's delayed, everybody gets mad at that too. So,
It is a tightrope to walk. It's also like, what if you don't? Is it better to just not tell people when things are coming rather than saying like, oh, this will be out in the summer, and then by the end of summer you're like, oh, actually it's not gonna be out till yeah, the winter, because right, game development is hard.
Mm-hmm. People yeah, people get upset about that too, but I tend to think that that's still the best way to go, because even if they're criticizing you for being silent, as soon as you say something, all of a sudden the problem is solved, right? And like they'll forget about the lag period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, that is true.
Do you guys play a lot? I know Marty, you probably don't play a lot of live service games, but you did try.
Rude. What about Marvel's Avengers?
Oh yeah, that's right.
100 hours.
Is that one an example of a good one or a bad one?
That was an example of me being a prisoner of my own mind and putting way too much time into that game. But that was a drug I was able to just kick. Like one day I just deleted it from my hard drive because I was like, this is like 100 gigabytes, and I just deleted it. I'm like, okay, I'm probably never going to play this game again. It's fine.
You can get it on Stadia and not have to download it ever again.
Do you get a kick of Stadia? What's going on? Why don't we talk about Stadia?
I'm just trying to feed your addictions, okay? you said the only reason you got rid of it is because the install size. So I took that out of the equation for you. Stadia,
it's
you don't
insane
have to
how
install.
Big it was. Why was it so big? It's not good. It's not good. You should
all,
only be big
those,
if you're good.
All those heroes.
Oh, there's like 7 of them. And 2 of them are Hawkeye.
One of them is Hulk, though. He takes up a lot of space.
That is true. He's very large. He's a big Hulk.
You know what? I think the trend I've noticed in live service games, at least lately, is that a lot of them are starting to move away from that looter shooter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, because it's, I think it's still funny. Everybody thinks Outriders is a live service game, and it's not.
Yeah, because it felt like one. Like all the other ones,
it had all the elements in that there. Vein.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was a full single player campaign if you wanted it to be, with an end game and everything. But sorry, my realtor's messaging me.
Is he messaging you via sonar? Is she? Are you in a submarine? What's going on there?
I'm always in a submarine.
Oh, that's crazy.
Below the depths of gaming Twitter.
Why did you bring up Twitter? Why did you bring it up Twitter for?
Because Twitter's a live service too.
Pivot, Marty.
Pivot. Well, Genshin.
But I don't know. Do you guys agree with that though? I do think like a lot of the service games have started to move away from the looter shooter model into more. I think, you know, with the success of Genshin Impact, we know that Assassin's Creed Infinity is going to be a live service game, which I think is going to follow very similar to the Genshin Impact model. You know, like when, I don't know, I guess I feel like developers are starting to learn it. And I also think that like developers are also learning that maybe not every game needs to be a live service, even though they're trying to make them. Some of the games, like I feel like we're getting back to more traditional expansions and they're just calling it a service to say, hey, this game is going to be supported as we go. Because I mean, even like Sifu is getting 4 updates they just announced yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had not heard of that.
Mm-hmm. They're getting difficulty
options. Yeah, different cosmetic things and like difficulty modifiers and the battle arena and like editable replays and stuff. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, and I mentioned at the top, is that, you know, we're only going to be seeing more and more of this, is because like we know Sony has like a dozen first-party live service games in development, and especially with the acquisition of Bungie, which again is a thing I keep forgetting happened, that like Sony owns Bungie. Bungie's almost going to be the like steward of these live service games, mm-hmm. and they're going to be from a bunch of their first-party studios, and a lot of the studios they recently either acquired or aided in the incubation of, like Jade Raymond Studio and Fire Sprite. But then even stuff like, you know, whatever the hell the Last of Us 2 factions mode is going to be. And then, like, we know, I think both Insomniac and Guerrilla have multiplayer projects in the works. So Insomniac, you can kind of like think maybe this is something Marvel related, since that's kind of their jam. And for Guerrilla, maybe it's something, you know, Horizon related.
Like, it sounds a lot like a return to like those 360 days where every single game had to have a multiplayer mode.
Yeah, like the BioShock 2 multiplayer mode, or Dead Space 2 multiplayer. Yeah.
Like everyone is like, oh, live service is the way to go. We can't make a profit unless we have a live service element. So it doesn't matter what the genre is, like Nick is saying, everyone is trying to figure out how to fit it into their game. And in some cases it's working, like in a big single player open world RPG like Genshin Impact. In other places, not so much, like Marvel's Avengers, which should have just been a single player thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can work. We've seen the good version and the bad version. So like, people are going to start copying the good versions. But then we're going to get that problem where, okay, everything's a live service.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you actually spend your time playing?
Yeah, yeah. I don't... Well, that's the thing. I like live service games because I like to stick with my game. You know, if I find a game I really like and I want more of it, great. I get more of it. But also, like, every company is working on these things and, like, there's no way to keep up with any of it. Like, I would love to keep up with Sea of Thieves. I would love to keep up with every update to, you know, Rainbow Six Siege and all these games that I play. Like, I mean, even Hell Let Loose, which I keep wanting to go back to, is getting new maps and updates all the time. It's impossible to keep up with it. And I think the live service thing is just such a model that they all love right now because it gives the games longer tails and is continually bringing in new players. If they see an update they're interested in, keeping players engaged longer, and then they introduce cosmetics later, which introduces more money to the game. And it's, yeah.
But then wouldn't it actually be beneficial then for us as consumers and gamers that these companies do take their time with these updates and that they're not as frequent as something like a Fortnite? Because then you can actually jump around. Like, the fact that we haven't had to go back to Halo and do whatever is new there allowed us to play everything else, right? Because I'm a big fan of Halo, and I probably would be spending time there if there was something new. And I'm waiting for something new in order to go back.
So, like, the idea of games, like, having off-seasons. If you're a football fan right now, well, it's the off-season, so you don't have to worry about football. But when it comes back in September, you could be a football fan again. Like, as opposed to this is a soap opera that airs at 9 a.m. every morning and never pauses for 15 years. Yeah, that's interesting. But it also feels like, in terms of gaming, like, if you're not always in the conversation, people just forget about you.
That's
which
true.
Which is why it seems like Fortnite and Warzone are things that are constantly, you know, speaking of Warzone, fucking Godzilla.
Godzilla, King Kong, yeah.
I'm excited to either be Godzilla or fight Godzilla or look at Godzilla. I don't know what it's going to be.
The trailer showed that it looks like they're like major bosses you take on in the world.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Has like a military force ever beaten Godzilla in one of those movies?
No, because he always ends up becoming your friend. Is there something bigger?
It's Call of Duty. All it takes is a single player to take him down.
Can you like summon can you like call in the dogs and have the dogs kill Godzilla?
I don't know.
Can you call in dogs in Call of Duty? That's a thing, right? Dogs?
Yeah.
That was in one of them.
I don't know if it's in multiple of them.
I think it's
in Vanguard. Yeah, you can't do it. I don't think you can do it in Warzone, but what was I gonna say? I think like the live service model is also just the death of the sequel for multiplayer games. I don't think there's like a reason for them to keep going back, and like Call of Duty is like one of the last standing. Well, I guess Battlefield 2 is like two of the last franchises that are still trying to release, you know, standalone sequels instead of just making a platform Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Well, I mean, Overwatch missed their opportunity to do that. Like, they're kind of doing both. Like, Overwatch 2 apparently will launch in Overwatch 1.
Yeah, I think Overwatch 2 is just going to be, you know, the Destiny 2 kind of situation. Pretty much same game with, you know, all the new expansions and everything, whatever they want to do and make that live service platform. But I think just the live service model can be cost effective just for multiplayer games in general. It's like, why rebuild what we just made every other year, you know, when you can just add new content into it all the time and build a steady foundation. Like Siege has a 10-year plan, and so that they wanted to have 100 operators in that game, and they're still not even planning for a sequel. For Honor is still going, and they probably want the same.
Yeah, For Honor is a good one too.
Yeah, they want to follow the same model as Siege, I think.
Yeah, and it'll work, like, because they have a good foundation there. Like, that's the core. Like, you make a good game that has a really fun core loop, especially if it's a multiplayer focused one. Like, people will come back to play that. And then, like we mentioned earlier, you add one new operator, the whole game opens up, because like now you can play with this new character, and every other character has to figure out how they deal with the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it stays fresh that easily.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of games that like do this really well that we just don't talk about because we don't play, but there's stuff like CSGO and Warframe and, you know, Final Fantasy 14, which have all been like, you know, stories of games that have continued to have legs and continue to evolve and grow and, you know, flourish with their community. Same thing with like League of Legends and Dota.
Yep.
A bunch of games that are very scary to me, but people seem to like.
Elder Scrolls Online. The one I was afraid to bring up before we started was Fallout 76, which, you know, I know our community probably hates that game, you know, with a passion, but it, you know, from the community that actually plays it, I've only seen positive things really over the last probably two years now, honestly. It sounds like people really turned around on that game. See, and so like for me, like I kind of expect live service games to be kind of shaky when they launch, and I know a lot of people don't like that mindset, because it's like I paid, you know, this amount of money for this game and I expect it to work and everything, and of course I expect the same thing. But I'm also willing, if it's a franchise I'm interested in or a series I like, I'm willing to make that initial investment and kind of wait to see if it shapes up. But I just know that's the chance I'm taking on a live service game. Is like Anthem, right? I was like, man, that looks really cool. And then it kind of came out and I was like, oh God, this is awful. Like, it's just, but the concept was cool. And I kind of wish they had released whatever they're going to do with Anthem 2.0, because
I hope that they could turn that around, and they kind of just gave up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, EA had of any of these, major studios or publishers, EA seems to be the one that's like taken the most shots on the jaw, in terms of both like failed games and then, you know, stuff like Anthem and Battlefield. But they did have like a pretty good success story with the eventual turnaround of Battlefront 2.
People are actually
mad that they're not continuing to support that game.
Because they
did, like, as soon as it got good, they stopped supporting it, and that's just as annoying.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Yeah.
You have a fun game now. Oh, no, we're done now.
Yeah, and then it seems like they've, you know, now like their entire focus is on Apex, which seems to be an example of one that people really love.
Yeah, and I know Deep Scrub is doing their thing when they call me out in chat, but I'm not saying release a shitty game and fix it later. I think games should be, the core loop should be good at launch. I'm saying some games just don't reach their potential at launch and do later. I think Siege is absolutely one of those games where the initial launch was a little rough around the edges, but over the years, it's really shaped up. I mean, it's beyond my favorite shooter now. It's not even close. So, you know, there's games that I think stumble out of the gate. I think Anthem is one of those games where, like, they did not even figure it out. Where, I mean, even the loot in that game was boring. And if you're going to make a looter shooter, the first thing you can't do is make boring loot.
Like, the shooting was boring in that game.
Yeah, everything like was boring in that game.
And the shooting.
Everything was.
That's the whole game.
Yeah.
You got to get one of them right.
Yeah. I think, like, Destiny mostly came down to their expansions being not as like ambitious as people expected until like Forsaken came out, because that's what I remember, like, everybody really turned around on Destiny 2, and now that's the expectation going forward, is like really solid single player esque single cinematic campaigns, and when they do release those, because like what were the ones in early Destiny, was it early Destiny 2? Yeah, because it was after Destiny 1 did Taken King, and people were really impressed with that. And then Destiny 2 came out with their first like two expansions, and they were both really lackluster. And then
it's like they didn't go big enough.
Yeah, they reuse areas, like, and nowhere.
You could really see that they were struggling to get something out as soon as they did. Yeah. Like, they were cutting as many, not, I don't want to say cutting corners, but they were using as many shortcuts, I guess, to get something out. And like it was kind of felt by the community, like, because I felt that way too. Like, they were all those smaller campaigns were a little disappointing in comparison to the bigger set piece ones.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see going forward. Like, we have sort of the modern landscape of what these games look like, but then, you know, once so many new players end up entering the game, like players as in these games we are talking about that major first party studios are going to be working on, and then there's no doubt that Microsoft has a bunch in development from there, and then obviously like the maturation of stuff like Sea of Thieves and you know, the next Gears. Like, Gears 5 was a game that's is it still getting multiplayer updates? It feels like,
well, they just removed
these like multiplayer events.
Yeah, they just removed the map editor from it, so they're kind of starting to sunlight the game. I don't know if Gears 5 was supported. I don't know if it was really, I don't think Gears 5 ever reached the popularity that other Gears games did. But I don't know how much they really treated Gears 5 like a live service. I think you're right. I think there were events. I know there's a lot of new maps, because I just played multiplayer in it the other day, and there were maps that they brought back, and I didn't pay for any of those.
Yeah. But, I didn't even know there was a map editor in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
it was for not for multiplayer, it was for like their escape mode. Oh, it was a separate mode. It was basically just placing blocks and randomizing stuff.
Oh, just kind of like placing cover points.
Yeah, most people probably didn't even know about it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Nothing like Far Cry 2's map editor, which I miss having those in games.
Yeah, they went pretty. Even like Far Cry 5 had like a really in-depth map editor where you can pull in a bunch of objects from other Ubisoft games.
Far Cry 2 on console, you could literally like sculpt a map from scratch.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was. I don't think any game since then has had a map editor that deep. I had always wished like Halo's Forge mode would be that deep where you could like make a whole new map on your own. But
yeah. Yeah, that Far Cry 2 was weirdly ambitious in a lot of ways.
Far Cry, yeah. Oh, that game. I remember the map editor in that game. Like, you had like a memory limit, so you couldn't like place a billion objects. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like people would make maps with. I mean, I would be in there all the time, messing with the sandbox and like piling up like red explosive barrels with mile in the sky and blowing them all up.
That just sounds like Minecraft.
Yeah, it was great.
There you go, the true live service game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're kind of like in a in between of like developers figuring out how the live service model should actually work and not like just being money grabbers about it. You know,
I mean, but now we have the biggest game on the planet's about to get its own personal subscription service in GTA Online. So
that is true. That's
weird. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see
the other interesting
how that evolves
one
with GTA 6.
Yeah. The other interesting one will be Warzone is getting Warzone 2 or whatever. And I think the one thing that irks me about that kind of stuff, or at least for the people that like have invested money into that is like they're from the sounds of it, it's like their cosmetics and everything aren't going to carry over from Warzone to the new Warzone.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So like,
I mean, did your Destiny cosmetics carry over?
Well, I don't know. I don't
from 1 to 2.
I don't think so.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, Warzone's a free thing, right? Like,
well, and for me, I don't know. I'd feel weird making a lot of investment into a game for cosmetics and all that, and then they release a sequel and that doesn't carry over.
Yeah, no, that's weird. Yeah, because like Destiny is a paid thing, or at least it was back when they released Destiny 1 to Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the expectation is like this is a new game, like start from scratch in this new game, blah 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 blah. Yeah. But like Warzone is a live service game. It's free to play when you first get into it. So for them to say, oh, this is the sequel to this free-to-play thing, it's also free, but all the stuff you paid money for in it doesn't follow. Like, I don't know. It's probably the same thing, like on like when you really think about it, but it feels weird.
Yeah, like, what is the point of a Warzone 2? Is Warzone 2 meant to like only be for current gen and PC?
They're building it from the ground up on like its own. I don't even want to try to explain it. Basically, like Warzone is tied to like Modern Warfare 2019. And all this weird engine stuff, and they're basically building Warzone on its own as they should have in the first place, so that it's not tied to engine updates and all that other stuff that the normal premium Call of Duty games are doing.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, somebody in chat brought up like Deebs brought up Overwatch in chat. Like, are your loot boxes and cosmetics going to transfer over from that? You have the same characters in a sequel, so
yeah, I think so. Like, because like literally, Overwatch 2 will be an update when you launch Overwatch 1. And like, if you don't buy the stuff in Overwatch 2, you'll still have Overwatch 1, but you'll be able to play in certain matches with Overwatch 2 content. So like, it's very weird, but like, it's technically the same game.
Yeah.
Bearbomb Bear says all the Overwatch stuff stays with you.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. Isn't like Overwatch 2, one of its big things is a campaign? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to play Overwatch 2. Enjoy campaigns. Cool. So yeah, I mean, that's obviously, you know, live service stuff is something we're going to be checking in on regularly, because not only is it, you know, some of the games we really like to play, but just one of the big topics that all of our favorite developers seem to be, you know, dabbling in. I don't think there's very few massive AAA developers that haven't either tested the waters or have some plans to going forward. So maybe, I don't know, Nintendo? Does Nintendo do live service?
Maybe Splatoon 3 will be there first.
Splatoon, yeah.
Yeah, but
Splatoon
even
2 kind of had regular events. And honestly, Smash was a live service game for the most part.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Until 100%. It didn't anymore.
Yeah. But,
but all the spirit board stuff and those little events and
all the characters are paid for Super Smash, though, right?
You had to buy like either individually or like the little season passes with what, five of them or whatever.
That's one of those live service, like, I don't think you should have to pay for characters.
It's kind of, yeah,
you know, it's like going back to like the old days of multiplayer gaming on the 360 where you paid for map packs and everything like that, and it would these, you know, just segment communities, and then that was actually what made me drop. That's what made me drop games the most, was just having expand like $15 map packs. Like, I don't want to pay $15 for three maps. That's crazy.
I never minded it in Smash, honestly. I didn't mind buying the season pass, or whatever battle pass, whatever the fuck they called them.
Fighter pass.
Where you'd get the five or six characters and all their levels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind.
Yeah, and they did the thing where, like, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily have access to that stuff, but it was still in your game. So, like, you could fight against other people and be on those maps if other people selected them and stuff. So
I think
it never really felt
thing.
Segmented like those older map packs did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's not like, oh, well, I didn't pay the money, so I can't play with my friends. It's like, oh, you can play with your friends, you just can't use their toys.
Yeah, and bare bones says it's still time and labor. Why wouldn't you have to pay for those? Like, I'd rather pay for a season pass and just know I'm going to get all the updates and not have to. Because the problem with segmenting maps like they used to do is, like, your friends wouldn't buy it, so then you would drop the game because your friends weren't playing it anymore. At least the live service kind of fixed that, where everybody's got access to the content, so the game keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's hopefully like a thing of the past, because that's just how you segment your audience, and mm-hmm. seems like a pretty shit.
Yeah, that was a lesson that they had to learn, because they don't really do that anymore.
yeah.
I still remember Burnout Paradise too being like the worst offender on some of that stuff. Like, there was literally a time saver thing. You could spend $10 to unlock all the cars in the game.
Oh yeah, I mean, those time savers still exist, right? With like Assassin's Creed games where you'd get like a double the XP and everything. Like, and it's like, well, is your game just not like optimized well? Like, is it your game too grindy?
I hope nobody in their right mind paid for those XP things. And I will admit that I was very close in Odyssey, because I was like, I just want to finish this fucking game and it's taking me forever. That's the kind of bullshit that should never be supported. It's like, just, oh, we're forcing you to grind. Pay us so you don't have to grind. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yep. That's just a bad way to make a game.
Yeah.
So we'll be obviously touching back on a bunch of these games in the near future, and whenever, I'm assuming at Summer Game Fest in, you know, a month and a half, we'll be seeing a bunch of new ones and see what, you know, if there's some new, someone's working on a Star Wars live service game or Marvel live service game. Well, I don't know if Marvel's going to be getting one anytime soon after after the Avengers, but
I saw the rumor yesterday that Bethesda themselves, one of their subsidiary studios, is working on a Mando MMO.
Michael Mando?
Mandalorian MMO.
Gotcha. I was like, that'd be great. I love that man. Give him his own, give like, it's just a bunch of different Michael Mando characters, like from Orphan Black and from Better Call Saul and Voss from Far Cry 3. Hmm. Those are those are the only three Michael Mandos I know. So I don't know if that's an MMO. Massively Mando online.
Like, you're excited about a Mandalorian MMO?
Oh, I'm not excited about it. I don't play MMOs.
Yeah, I'm like, why choose an MMO for this?
I swear
this
is a single Christ character set on Tatooine.
One comment was kind of saying like a bounty hunter, you know, MMO where you go to all different planets, and I don't know. I still
like an MMO or like a,
who the fuck knows? I don't know. I just, that's, well, all
you,
I said.
You brought it up. What's happening?
You're asking me for more details on all I said is there was a Mando MMO.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone's doing something with if not Mando, that sort of flavor of Star Wars, because obviously it was so successful on Disney Plus, but I don't know if I think like a campaign, like a single player campaign game where you're a bounty hunter seems cool. I don't know how that would work in like an online.
I still want version. A real version of Prey 2 to happen. Because I still think that demo looks really cool from back then.
Oh, the like, oh,
right.
The
you're literally a bounty hunter.
Yeah, you're literally a bounty hunter in that game.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, who knows what like the you know, the Ubisoft massive Star Wars game is going to look like. You know, everything can't be all about Jedis. So, Jedi? I don't know what the plural of Jedis are. Jedis.
It's Jees.
Jees. Just a bunch of Jees running around. Yeah. So we'll see. I have this other topic for the subscription thing, but I don't know. That seems kind of boring. Do you really want to talk about that?
No.
We can talk about it if you want. Wow, Nick said no.
I don't.
Nick said no. Well, the one thing is, we touched on it yesterday. I'm curious about Casey's take on it. There was a report that came out on the PlayStation Plus Premium, which is the highest tier of the PlayStation Plus service that's launching.
Right. Yeah.
A report came out, and again, not confirmed, but a report that picked up a lot of traction, that Sony is requiring the developer of any game that's going to cost more than $34, which is kind of a weird arbitrary number, include a 2-hour demo for anyone who has that highest tier of PlayStation Plus. So it's almost like bringing it back to the, you know, 360 days where like every game has to have a demo.
Yeah, that's immediately where my mind went.
Yeah, yeah. But it's only, you know, only on games more than $34, which is mostly AAA games. Most indie games aren't that much money. So, but what do you like? What is your thought about that, both in terms of that as an idea and also that as an idea that is paywalled behind their most expensive tier?
Like, I don't think it's a terrible idea to have that be for just the highest tier of their service, because it's adding a value to, you know, the people who are paying that much money. But the stipulations behind it seem wildly arbitrary, because you can have indie games that are under $34 that give you way more time and like could benefit from a demo and people, you know, testing a you know, an interesting looking thing out because it doesn't have such a high profile. Like, that's what you would want a demo for, versus, you know, whatever thing is over this budget and is likely maybe has a bit more production value and might have a shorter runtime, like maybe a 6-hour campaign or something like that. So yeah, I wouldn't pay for a $35 game that was only 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like Nick mentioned, I think when you guys first brought this up, like, I can't think of one that fits that description.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, like, it, like, why can't I get a 2-hour demo of something under $34? Like, that's, I'd prefer that more than the stuff that's over $34, in all honesty.
Also, 2 hours.
So, like, it just seems weird.
2 hours seems really long. Like,
that is pretty long.
I would rather have all games have like a 45-minute demo.
When 360 did it, it wasn't that you just played 2 hours of the game. They were kind of like specific bespoke demos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In most cases, like, some of the indie ones would just be like, all right, this is the cutoff. But it wasn't like two hours of playtime.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very odd.
And I'm curious if like this whole thing is just going to be, it is the first 2 hours of your game, and then a little prompt comes up saying, all right, you've reached your playtime. Click this button to buy the game, and then you can just continue, which would be nice, because like there's been a handful of games. What was that?
I'm sure it would be that. It wouldn't make sense.
I would hope so.
Because developers, if they require developers to make a separate demo, they're going to fight that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of work. Yeah, it's like absolutely a lot of work. And I really liked how Dragon Quest XI on, at least on Switch, I'm imagining on the other consoles too, it had a demo that just was the opening like 5 or 7 hours of the game. And then you reach a certain point and it was like, well, you can continue your game right now or you can just stop. And then I was having so much fun that I was like, all right, I'll buy the game. Like, that single-handedly sold me on the game. So I feel like in the long run, this would be beneficial. You know, I think like the easiest way to get people hooked on a game is to let them play the game for an extended period of time. And then they're like, OK, well, I want to see where the story goes, or I'm really digging the mechanics, or
mechanics.
Like,
yeah,
I'm having fun in multiplayer. Although, how multiplayer
works. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Like, the demo idea is great. Like, we've seen proof of that. Like, it already happened in the 360 era where everything had a demo. It's just the rules behind it seem weird, and it's probably because they're just trying to alleviate concerns of the thing that happens on Steam where someone will play through a 2-hour game and then refund it, and so it's like they just stole this gameplay experience from the developer, and there's nothing you can do about it because the rules support it. So like that seems to be the real reason that they're making any sort of concessions to this at all.
Yeah, it also seems more like Sony announced this whole three-tiered PlayStation Plus, you know, transformation without concrete details. They'll just like, there's a bunch of games you're going to get if you have the highest tier. And it's like, what are those games? Like,
yeah, what games are those?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been confused. Like, the highest tier has...
Yeah.
Yeah, the highest tier has hundreds of games more than the next highest tier. But then that also includes the backwards compatible stuff, or is the backwards compatible stuff included in those extra games? Like, I don't know.
Like, I'm imagining there's going to have to be some sort of a presentation in the next month or so, because that thing's launching right at the beginning of June, I think. So I don't know. It seems weird that they revealed it without a lot of concrete details.
Well, yeah, because that's what I'm wondering is, like, PS Now already has, I think, 800 something games on it. Like, are they just going to segment that into different tiers, or are they talking about new games that are coming to PS Now? And I don't think they are, because I can't think of, like, unless they're going to add every game under the sun to that service, I can't think of what they're going to add to it. So I think
you can add a lot of PS1, PS2, PS3 games. I don't know. I don't know. As someone who really likes PlayStation's backlog, I hope this is really cool, but I'm kind of preparing for it to be underwhelming.
Yeah, and if it's all going to be, you know, through the cloud to play PS3 games, that's not going to make very many people happy.
Nope.
So
fuck those clouds. Except for Stadia, the only cloud we like here at Tscapist.
Hey, I've been playing games on PS Now. God of War 3 Remastered runs like a dream on PlayStation Now.
You know what doesn't? Metal Gear Solid 4. Metal Gear Solid 4 chugs in the cutscenes somehow, and I don't understand that. The gameplay was fine, and the cutscenes chugged, and I don't understand why that was happening.
You can play that game on YouTube with no trouble.
Fucking Nick, god damn it. You could play that game. You're a monster. All right, you want to talk about what we've been playing? What have you been playing? Pop-Pop play anything? I don't know which one of you is Pop-Pop in that scenario.
I'll take on the role of Pop-Pop.
All right, Nick, Pop-Pop.
I actually wanted to surprise people this week and say that I think I've come around on the Halo show, and I think I'm actually enjoying it.
Really? How many episodes did it take you?
What was last week's five? Yeah. I wasn't big on the first episode at all, and then my enjoyment has kind of continually cycled towards the positive from two onwards. Because I kind of like where they're taking the story direction, and I'm not tying it to the games. I'm taking it as its own thing, and I think if people can do that, then they enjoy it a little bit more. But if you're just trying to, like, this isn't Halo, I'm not, you know, it's not following the lore directly and all this stuff, then you're not going to like it. Like, it's just simple as that, I think, for most people. And, like, the production values can be hit or miss, a lot of it. It's still the same complaints. Like, I think in episode five, we got, like, a real... I think it was a great action sequence. Like, it was fun to watch. I was having a good time watching the big battle that happens. Way better than the first episode's battle. CGI on, like, the Covenant stuff is still, like, but, you know, I can live with it. It's not as bad as other sci-fi shows I've seen. The storyline with Quan and, like, and Soren is still, like, the absolute... It just doesn't need to be there. I mean, like, a quarter of, like, the episode five, which I think is a great episode overall, is her, like, trying to escape being locked to a bike. And that's it. That's all that happens with her.
Like a bicycle?
Soren, like, handcuffs her to a bike so that she can't leave while he goes off to do something else. And then...
Like a bicycle?
Like a motorcycle.
Oh, a motorcycle.
Yes.
No, I also pictured, like, a messenger bike. Like,
I mean, if you were attached to the bike, you could just get on and ride it away.
Master Chief rides in a little fixed gear.
Yeah.
Not if they attach you to, like, the spokes, Nick. That would be very complicated.
That's true.
You just dislocate your shoulder. You'll be fine. But that whole storyline, like, that needs to go, I think. Just focus on Master Chief and Silver Team. Like, I'm growing on the Silver Team characters a little bit more. They've been focusing on one. The other two hardly ever have screen time, which is weird. So there's still the pacing issues and all that, but, like, in general, you know, I'm not hating it. I'm having an okay time with it. I think it. Hopefully they take a lot of lessons from this season and apply it to season two. It's, like, one of those shows where I can see it getting good, and for right now it's just okay, fun moments, but, you know, I look forward to it.
Okay. Cool. Do you know how many episodes this first season is?
I assume 10.
9 or 10, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I think it's like halfway
and
through.
I do think right. they. My prediction is that they're leading into the fall of Reach, which I would be really excited about if they do show that on screen.
So they're not going to get to that. Are they not going to get to a goddamn Halo ring in the TV show Halo?
If they do, it would be the finale, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Did show a Halo ring in like the original trailers.
Yeah, in Episode 5, they've only just now kind of figured out like it's a Halo ring. One person has figured that out, but they haven't really. A lot of it has really been digging into Master. I think this whole first season is like really setting up Master Chief as a character and his conflict with like Halsey and the UNSC, kind of, you know, abusing and using him and everything. So I don't know how much we're gonna get into a Halo ring, but if it's there, it's gonna be late.
That'd be like if you made Better Call Saul and you didn't have Saul in it.
It's
the show's called Better Call Saul.
I mean,
give me Saul.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not. You know, if you're really looking to this just for a Halo show, which, you know, I totally get because I'm one of those people, and like I've constantly fighting with myself is like, eh, this is weird, I don't like this, and then I'm like, well, there's parts of this I do like. The story is it's iffy. Like there's some foundation there that's being set up that I'm intrigued in, but it's like a small part of like the rest of it being like, eh, just push that stuff aside. Let me get the Chief, and I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
Biggest flaw is, I mean, during the battle, there should have been the iconic Halo tunes, and there wasn't any of that. I can't believe how bad they fucked up the music in the show. It's such generic sci-fi crap.
It's like just right-click, save MP3, and just put it over there.
It's weird. It's weird to me. Like, 343 really has this thing where, like, they want Halo to be their own thing while also, like, retaining its legacy, and, like, the show is kind of grappling with both of that again. Kind of like they did.
Yeah, it's like an alternate timeline, right?
It is an alternate timeline.
Didn't have good music.
that's a Halo I don't want.
Alternate timeline where Marty O'Donnell was never born.
Andrew Hickman says, "Remember Foundation? Is that still going?" Yeah, I loved Foundation. I thought that was great.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's got a second season.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Sci-Fi Guys.
Not out yet. Coming. Yeah.
Yeah, second season's coming. It's just a very expensive show that I think takes a lot of time and money to make. So, speaking of good TV shows, I think both Nick and you don't watch Better Call Saul, do you, Casey?
I'm catching up right now on season 5. I'm behind on what's coming out now.
You're close.
Oh, good.
Nice. Okay, you're close. So without going to spoilers, episode 3 just aired of season 6. And like, I think Better Call Saul has like the current belt on TV, or the best thing on TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's like phenomenal. The first 3 episodes of the season have been like absolutely incredible. Man,
there's so much more to go. It's gonna be
And it's interesting because there's 4 more episodes, and then the first half of the season's done, and then it's taken like a month and a half or 2 month break, and then the final stretch of episodes is coming. I think at the end of July. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a massive split up the seasons and have to wait a year, but it's
It's not doing an Attack on Titan is what you're saying.
No. It's like splitting up the seasons, but it's like, all right, we're just taking like a 6-8 week break. Don't worry, we're coming back. Yeah, absolutely not doing an Attack on Titan.
Final season part 3.
Yeah. I'm excited. When Better Call Saul wraps up, we should do like a spoiler cast for it or something. Maybe get Darren on. I think that'd be really fun to talk about.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Shawshank guess if Better Call Saul is better or Breaking Bad is better. I think we have to wait till it's done to really know, because like,
yeah,
Breaking Bad wrapped up perfectly, so
yeah. And it's like Saul has the whole like, it feels like a different beast just by virtue of you know certain places where it's going. Yeah. And it's more about like how it gets there and what happens to these other characters.
Yeah, I love Better Call Saul, but I also like, just because the nature of a prequel, I liked Breaking Bad so much more just because the tension is so much higher.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Better Call Saul is great. Highly recommend it to everyone. What else will we be watching? Casey?
You've been watching
Japanese animation? Have you been watching animes?
I've been knocking out a lot of high profile anime that's been on my backlog for a while. Like a lot of the more popular stuff that just wrapped up, I went to finish, like Demon Slayer and caught up on One Piece up until a certain point. So now I'm going to give it, you know, room to breathe or whatever.
Yeah. That, so I went that, to some of the. At the end of Demon Slayer season two. Great.
Yes. Oh, it's amazing. It's
fucking badass. That was so great. Yeah.
It's so good. I can't wait for more of that show.
Yeah.
But because of that, since I've caught up on all like my super hype stuff, I went to like some of my like second tier stuff, stuff that's popular that I know people are watching that I've liked in the past, but like I'm not, you know, super excited for. Stuff like, you know, is it wrong to pick up a girl in a dungeon? Season two just dropped. Well, it didn't just drop. It came out some time ago.
Wait, that's the actual title one, of the show?
Yeah, it's the whole title. Yeah, a lot of anime titles are just full sentences nowadays. Yeah. Like, Jesus. I think it's a running joke in the industry, but it stays funny to me.
Yeah.
I forget because it was so long ago when I watched the first season. I'm going through the second season now, and that anime, color me surprised, is mad horny. Like, it is... It is just so obsessed with its main character. Like, all the other characters love this main character. He's not that interesting, but they are obsessed with this kid. Mm-hmm. And he just doesn't know what to do with all that energy being thrown at him. And it's funny in some senses, and in other senses, like, can you guys just kind of get on with the plot here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because a lot of the anime I watch isn't super horny. And so every time I do watch something that is horny, like I just watch
my dress up gnarly, a lot of anime is like this.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, this show can get real horny. What is going on? I'm like looking around, I'm in my house alone, but I'm like, is someone gonna like look through the windows and be like, what's this pervert watching?
That's why I can't watch anime, because I'm like, all the squealing and squeaking, I'm just like, I don't want somebody to walk
alone
by my door.
You should be fine.
Yeah, but I live in an apartment complex. Somebody's going to walk by my door like, this fucking weirdo.
How loud is your
How
stuff?
Loud do you watch
I have a sound system in my living room and wooden floors. That shit echoes.
Also, you should be way more embarrassed that you bought Moonfall in 4K than any horny anime. Can we talk about that? Why'd you buy Moonfall in 4K? What's going on?
Yeah, what's up, all right? What's going on? We talked about Marty's problem. Now let's address yours.
I have a problem. I just 4K movie.
Yeah, dude, but they've made a bunch of good movies.
I have
them
all.
Cinema, there's a bunch of good ones. No, have all of them?
Yeah, I have my copy of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Like, well, shit, I just got
true cinema.
Sometimes I got a Moonfall.
Okay. Sometimes. You just gotta buy a movie that's gonna look good on your nice 4K TV.
Is it gonna look good? Because I thought that movie was ugly.
How can a moon destroying the planet be ugly?
I don't know, when you don't put enough
money
behind it.
Beautiful.
I do agree, though. You posted that picture.
The cover art is dope.
It was very cool. The cover was very cool. I wish the movie would have harnessed some of that very cool energy.
I was just back to like 90s, 2000s, where you just buy something based on the look. The
cover looks sick.
I mean, that was trading cards. So
yeah,
you were buying pieces of paper with a cool image on it.
I saw Uncharted is out digitally, so I think I'm going to watch that tonight.
I'm going to get a 4K copy of that.
Get a 4K copy of it, Nick. Why are you doing this?
Because I don't have to spend... If I'm going to spend $15 to go watch a movie in the theater and I'm curious about it, I'm just going to buy the 4K copy, because then I could just have it and I don't have to worry about it later. Don't question my logic. It's fine.
I mean,
my logic is
why not?
Flawless.
Yeah, it's your money.
I don't own the copies of Fantastic Beasts, if that makes you happy.
Makes me a little happy.
It does.
Yeah. It is crazy how there is a new Harry Potter universe movie, and I have zero ambition to see it.
I don't either.
Like,
I haven't even
that is
the second
wild
one.
To me.
It's par for the course for me.
Yeah. But I really liked the Harry Potter. Like the main things. Not these beasts. I do not care for these beasts one bit, let me tell you. I don't care if they're fantastic. I just don't. I don't care for them.
There are
I do
no
like
beasts.
Mads Mikkelsen, though.
It's called Fantastic. I was excited for him because I was like, oh, Fantastic Beasts movie about Harry Potter monsters. That sounds great. And then you don't get any of that. You just get a weird kid. What was that clip?
Yeah,
what was
the
clip
wizards
that Darren
are the
showed?
Nazis.
Or no, it was Matt that showed in his review that clip of him like... No, it was Darren on Twitter. He showed the clip of the guy like playing an animal or something like that, making weird noises with his ears and shit. I don't remember.
Making noises with his ears?
He probably tried.
Who was it? The one who keeps getting the Flash, who keeps getting arrested in Hawaii because he's a bad dude.
I don't. Well,
he was in that first movie, right?
He's in all of them.
He's in all of them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that movie's fucking cursed.
I don't watch him, so I don't know.
Yeah, every person associated with that movie is just fucking cursed, except for Mads Mikkelsen, because he's delightful and he's Kojima's friend.
He's the curse breaker.
Yeah, Kojima is the curse breaker. Kojima, never had a problem. Nothing problematic in any of his games. Totally
since,
fine.
Since we were talking about weeb shit, I've been playing Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Oh, right.
Ooh, man. Yes. I like when Nick brings up weeb shit. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm on chapter 6. Mm-hmm. Really loving the combat in that game. Like, I think Yakuza as a turn-based combat game is way better than the brawler stuff.
I agree.
Because the brawler stuff just frustrated the shit out of me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate grinding down. Yeah, not that combat's fun, but I way prefer this, and the pace of it. I feel like I'm getting through everything a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Aside from that dungeon that we talked about on the editor's hour yesterday, that first
I can't believe there, that first dungeon. Just one. Did you play Like a Dragon?
Who, me? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's this fucking dungeon, and you like get kidnapped, and you end up in this like underground base. And I swear to God, it might take 45 hours to get out of that dungeon. It's the longest dungeon. It's the most boring location. It is so long. It's like legitimately like 2.5 hours long.
I fell asleep playing through the dungeon.
It is insane.
And I woke up and I was still in the dungeon and I was really sad about it.
And then you get out of the dungeon and the game's great. But like this dungeon, I don't know what happened.
Is this like early on or?
Relatively. It's like the first third of the game probably.
Yeah, it's like, it's like the second dungeon.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
It's literally,
I think they just like accidentally hit a button or like put like an extra zero in. I don't know how you make video games, but like that was supposed to be like a 10 dungeon and it ended up being a 100 dungeon. So too much.
Somebody real high up was just like more dungeon.
Yeah,
it was.
But Yakuza Like a Dragon, really, really good. And I'm glad that it seems like they've announced that there's going to be a sequel. So it's not like the RPG thing was like a one off. They're going to continue going down that route. So
the side missions have all been great too. And this is like weirdly enough, I think because like I'm not like sick of the gameplay. I like the core loop of this a lot more than the other Yakuza games. I've been engaging more with its world and doing the side missions, partially because like the gear system and also like the XP is so important to. Because I had read towards the end of the game, there's like a wall you hit where you have to grind. So I'm doing that now instead of later.
Very much so. Yeah. Yep. There's like a massive difficulty spike at one point in the game.
So I'm preparing for that ahead of time. Like I'm over leveled for everything already. But you can really do that if you're just not mainlining and just doing some of the side stuff. So
yeah. And you do in the same place where that massive spike is. There's also like a battle tower arena thing. So that's like an easy way to grind once you get there.
I also finally experienced the whole the baby mission.
Oh, with all the grown men dressed as babies?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. My friend was over watching this game. He's like, oh, this is really interesting. And then we got to that side, and she's sitting there like, huh?
And you're worried about anime noises coming out of your apartment.
I was concerned about that. Well, the guys that weren't making the baby noises, so, you know, it's okay.
Like that would have been the line for you, as if
was the men were
made the noises while dressed.
Yeah, because people can't see what I'm playing through my door, but if they can hear it, that's why I had to turn off Paimon.
They just think it was babies, Nick.
That's why I turn off. Like,
oh, that guy loves babies.
That's why I turn off Paimon's voice in Genshin Impact.
Are they gonna? What do you think people are gonna be like? Does that man have like a sprite in his house? Does he have like a woodland nymph?
So I'm watching some weird shit.
Yeah. I can't believe how loud your stuff is that you're worried about your neighbors here. Just turn the volume down.
Just wear headphones.
Just wear headphones.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Then you can listen to all the horned up anime you want. It's great. There's none of it, Nick. There is so much horned up anime.
Mm-mm. Yeah, too much. You can throw a rock and you'll hit it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like this, like, there's a good chance this is horned up anime. We don't even know it. This breakout might have turned into a horned up anime. Do you want to go over Super Duper Chats?
We can. Pacific Blue asks, why are you really concerned about what your neighbors think? Like, why? I don't know.
You want to be a good neighbor. I mean, you don't want to be like a asshole who's like...
I hate when I hear other people's stuff through my walls. The last thing I'd want to hear is from somebody else. This weird anime screeching. Anyways, super chats. Skillet boy.
It's art, Nick.
333911 donates $10. Says, why are these always when I'm trying to sleep or go to work? Also, I see Destiny 2 on the splash screen, so I'm immediately upset and boycotting this video. Good day to you, fine, misguided gentleman.
What, did they think Destiny 2 is not a good example of a live service game done well?
Well, it was until they started removing content that you paid for.
Yeah, that thing is...
I'm really impressed. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised like the backlash hasn't been much higher from the community on that. I think like online it has been, but...
Because I feel like the people who are the most excited about Destiny probably played that content. So like, it sucks that it's going away, but like they're moving on to the next thing because that's why they're taking it out, because new stuff has to replace it. Otherwise, you get a game file that's like 1,000 gigs on your fucking...
Yeah, sometimes I think people get mad at the principle of something, but it's like... Like, if we talked about being mad at it, like, I don't know, Nick and I don't play Destiny. You play a little bit of Destiny, right, Casey?
I play a lot of Destiny, but I've
also played a lot of Destiny. I don't know if the file size is the correct argument, because there's games that have way more stuff going on in Destiny.
Like Avengers.
I mean, Fallout 76 is literally a full open world with tons of content in it. I don't know. I think somebody in chat kind of said it, but Warframe, instead of removing content, improved that their compression technology. I think that's kind of what Destiny needs to do. I would not, as somebody that has paid for those expansions, I am not happy that like I can't go back and have my friends play Forspoken or Forsaken or anything. That it's not there now. And like that's including removing raids and all that kind of stuff that they've had. So I mean full planets are gone from the game. I'm not huge on that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not ideal. I can definitely agree with that. But like, at the same time, people want new stuff, and like that's how they put new stuff.
But yeah, well, it'd be one thing if you didn't pay for those expansions. If it was just like we're cycling through content and it's all free, okay. But when you pay $30 for an expansion, I expect that to be there.
yeah, that's the part I kind of agree with there.
Yeah. Because, I mean, hell, I paid for the operators in Siege. If they started removing operators, I wouldn't be thrilled. SVS Guru 2000 donates 10 euros. Says, haven't played Siege, but both Destiny and Genshin Genshin devolved into grinding to upgrade things. I don't think they did it right. Also, Breath of the Wild will only ever mean best of the worst to me.
I think they mean the acronym.
Yeah, the best of the worst.
Oh, BOTW will only ever mean... Yep. Best of the worst. Gotcha.
Well, Destiny and Genshin grinding to upgrade things, that's just the core loop of those games. And that's what the people that play those games religiously want.
Like, honestly, the grindiness of those games don't come until after you've put in a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. Like, in all honesty. Like, if you're telling me that you're reaching a point where you're frustrated with the grind, you're also telling me that you played a ton of that game, which means you probably like that game.
Yeah.
And Shaoxing says it's not a core loop in Genshin. Yes, it is, because you have to reach adventure ranks just to go the next chapter on stuff. That's the definition of grind.
You know what game doesn't have adventure ranks? Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, the only true BOTW. I had to think for a second. I was like, does that game have something called adventure ranks?
Destiny also becomes a grind. Destiny is not a grind for like any of the story stuff. The only time it's really a grind is when you're trying to unlock specific weapons.
Or to like
end game stuff.
Get your light level up to a certain point where you can do a raid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is like post-game stuff, end-game stuff. That's fine.
Dr.
Like, that is the loop.
Donates $20 Australian. This is a game that I believe to be the best example of the live service business model is Warframe. Most purchases you can make are cosmetics. You can enjoy the entire game for free via trade and a generous free-to-play model and no gambling.
Yeah, Warframe, I think, is a big blind spot for the three of us, right? For all of us, I think.
I played a little of it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Like, around when Destiny 1 was a thing, and was like, this is the poor man's Destiny. Because it felt like so grindy. But I think they fixed a lot of that since then. I've only heard good things for the people who, like, play it religiously. But, yeah, I never went back.
Yeah, it's one of those games I've downloaded and dabbled with like probably 3 or 4 different times, and I don't really like the mission structure of it, so I haven't stuck with it. But the combat,
screenshots of people's characters, I think like the art direction's cool. That game.
Yeah, I think that game. I think that game's really neat. It's not something I have the time to really get sucked into. I think.
You know what my favorite live service game is? Godfall. You guys remember Godfall?
Isn't that coming to Game Pass or something soon?
Newest
edition.
I think they just released it on Xbox. Yeah.
Incredible. What a time to be alive. Now we can all experience Godfall.
Yeah. Borderlands is one of those I can't believe it's a real service game yet.
Yeah, they're stuck in the past, man.
They are.
Yeah.
Guy on couch donates 125. I don't think I've ever seen that currency symbol. I have no idea what that is. Says finally caught this
live. Maybe it's crypto.
It might be. Finally caught this live. It's been mentioned before. Yahtzee watches Red Letter Media. Do any of you guys watch them? Did you see Jack in the latest video? I don't really watch. I don't watch a lot of movie content on YouTube aside from Darren's stuff. And that's because we make it.
I don't. What does Red Letter Media do?
They do like lots of movie, like ever since I met Jack and people have been suggesting, hey, watch Jack stuff on Red Letter Media. I've watched stuff here and there. Like I haven't followed it religiously. It is very funny, but I've not seen any of the recent stuff. Like I watch like Wisecrack for my movie stuff for the most part. They're like a sister site of ours.
Oh yeah, the old Wisecrackers. Yeah, I love those guys. I don't know what that is. I also don't know what Wisecrack is. What do they do? What is it, like movie podcasts? Like they just talk about movies?
It's that. Yeah, they. It's like
it's edited shows.
Comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would probably
all
like
movie
Marty.
Based. Yeah. Yeah. You'd probably like it a lot, Marty. Actually,
I don't like comedy. Can I Date a Girl in the Dungeon? What was that show called?
I don't know. The acronym is IIWTPUGIAD. So, you know, figure that out.
Is it weird if I fuck this skeleton?
Yes. I don't watch a lot.
Put that in your web browser and tell me what anime pops up.
It's Siri, is it weird if I fuck this skeleton?
I just don't watch a lot of YouTube shows really in general. Like we work on it every day, so I kind of disconnect from it after work.
I watch a lot of like video essayists.
Yeah.
Which is like sounds so fucking pretentious, but it's just like people who like have good ideas.
That's Wisecrack, Marty. That's what they do. They make video essays about movies and stuff.
But is it all snarky?
No, it's not snarky. It's like all intellectual philosophy stuff.
I feel like it shouldn't be called Wisecrack then. Wisecrack makes me think that they're like trying to make spoofs and goofs or like be like what's the CinemaSins? I don't like CinemaSins.
You don't like CinemaSins.
They're not like CinemaSins.
That's a little too snarky.
Yeah, they're not like that.
Okay.
All right. Phantom of the Night donates $10. Says, I'm not entirely against the live service model, as the idea of games growing with you over the years is cool. The major growing pains are 1, quality, 2, preservation, and 3, fair, transparent monetization. I agree with all that.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all really good points.
It's literally the points of live service. Andrew Hickenbottom donates £2 as Mando. Is this Mando non-toxic?
Is this Mando non-toxic?
They spelled like actual dough. They spelled it as D-O-U-G-H.
Mando. First off, I never thought of Mando as it's a dough made of men.
Like a gingerbread man.
Like a gingerbread man. Yeah, yeah. Man made of dough. Yeah, so yeah, that's what the MMO is.
Non-toxic. You can eat those.
Yeah, that's what the M in the MMO stands for. Mando. I'm not sure which M, either the first or the second one. You should probably go to the next one. I don't know what we're doing.
It's interchangeable.
Andrew Higginbottom also donates another £2. Says Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes was $30 and a demo.
That is true. Remember that was
there was a stage in gaming where they were trying to charge for demos.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough look for my guy Kojima. Really, just tried
because it was a separate thing. It was a different thing than the game that launched. So like it had that going for it.
Yeah.
I think that was an all Konami decision.
I think
had
so.
To be, yeah.
They're like, let's your game is expensive. Let's just cut off a slice, release it, use this money to fund the rest of your game.
It was a neat little thing. It shouldn't have been that much money, but it was like a neat little thing of like
$5.
A little sandbox that you could, or it should have been if you pre-order, you get it for free if you pre-order Phantom Pain or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It eventually was like one of the PlayStation Plus free things, and then it was an Xbox Games with Gold free thing or whatever. So
Everybody in the world owns a copy of Ground Zeroes in some form.
That's true. Highest selling video game of all time.
David Bateman, member for 9 months and bonus content. This is Marty, KC. I like how they did not include me in this. Have either of you checked out BNA, Brand New Animal?
Nick, have you checked out Brand New Animal?
That's why they didn't ask, because they know the answer is no.
I have not. It's on my queue, though. Oh, you have seen it?
Yeah, it's a trigger joint, so you know I'm obligated to check out what they do. Not my favorite thing they've done. Like Trigger's probably like my favorite animation house. Like I love Tangentopa Gurren Lagann. I love Kill la Kill, Little Witch Academia. Fantastic. Brand New Animal is very average in comparison. So like it's not bad. Like it's not terrible or anything. It's just not as good as other stuff they've done before it.
What is it just about like animals pretending they're people, like God Taxi?
It's a little bit like Zootopia in that there's beef between like different factions of anthropomorphic animal creatures, but also there's beef between humans and anthropomorphic animal creatures. But then some humans can turn into anthropomorphic animal creatures, so it gets very complicated, as you can probably guess.
Is it something Nick could safely watch in his apartment, or would some of the noises make him comfortable?
You know, I don't remember it being that horny. So Nick could probably crank it up to 11 in his sound system and be okay.
Nick, we found an anime you can crank it. You can crank it too.
You know what? I'm just gonna crank up porn real loud in my living room while I'm not home, just for the fuck of it. While I'm in Iceland, I'm just gonna remote control my TV and just make all the weird noises.
That's gonna be a lot. And then they're gonna be like, oh man,
it'll be 12 days of
that guy, all right?
It's 12 days straight.
He needs to take a water break to dehydrate. That was just an awful note to end on. I thought it was a really nice show up until the ending, and then it got very bad. We're done though, right? We can go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last one?
Yeah. Yeah. We can all
that was the last
we can all go home. Everyone, you can go home. We can all leave the venue and we can all go back to our homes.
Hold on, real quick. David Bateman says BNA is not horny. It's not Beastars.
Is Beastars horny?
Right. Beastars is horny, yes.
Okay. Is JoJo horny? I've never watched JoJo. Is that show horny?
Yes and no. It's like it's so over the top. You're like, who would get horny from this? But also, they're clearly trying to make somebody horny.
Early in the morning for this.
What are you talking about?
ZP hasn't even aired.
If you're in Europe, it's like the afternoon.
Okay. Well, Europe's their own thing.
Europe is their own thing. It is a whole European
thing. I've been to Amsterdam. I've seen what Europe's about.
An escape is box quote.
Yeah, you're about to go to Iceland, one of the horniest places in the world. Speaking of, Nick, where what should folks check out? And let folks know, I guess, when's your last stream going to be? Saturday?
Monday? Saturday will be my last. Saturday will be my last stream before we go to, well, not my last stream forever. We're just going to Iceland to film the Eve documentary.
Next
Tuesday, so I'll be gone from the 3rd. Well, Omar, J-Mate, Matt, and I will all be gone from the 3rd to the 12th.
Oh, that's so long.
Yep, good luck. Let's see if you can run the ship.
Whatever. Sinks, it sinks. I still got all my horny anime in the background.
We're going to we'll have to recreate that meme of me walking in and everything's on fire. It's like, okay.
Oh, like in Community when Donald Glover walks in with the pizzas?
Yeah.
That'll be fine. No, I think we're going to plan to do Breakout. We'll figure it out. We can do Breakout since there's going to be at least two of us. We'll see. We could probably get someone for a third. We'll figure it out. Yeah, I think the only thing the only thing we won't be doing is Editor's Hour and Today We Play. Probably you'll still get Slight Something Else. You'll still get Hidden Gems. You'll still get Post CP. You'll still get Metal Gear. We'll still do a game night. You won't get Gears. It's fine. Whatever. I just named a bunch of shit. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. So, Vic, what should people check out, though?
Tomorrow we back on Today We Play. Marty and I will be checking out Prehistoric Kingdom. It launches in early access today, I think.
So, dinosaur game.
Yeah, or at least the embargo goes up today, so we can play it tomorrow. So it's a park sim game that looks quite a bit better than the Jurassic World Evolution game. And then Friday I'll be back with Amy to continue playing Gears 5, which she's loving so far, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, Gears 5 rules.
Yep. And then Saturday we'll figure out what we're doing for game night.
Yeah, last game night ever. I keep saying ever. Literally, I think you're gonna be gone for two of them.
Marty's loving that Elon Musk purchased Twitter, so I can just spread all this misinformation around now.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I can lie as much as I want. No punishment. Yeah, Andrew Hickenbottom with the donation said, look at me. I'm the captain now. That's what we should do. We should do more Captain Phillips content. What if instead of live streams, we do Captain Phillips watch-alongs?
I think
we'd probably get sued for that.
That, and I think we'll have lots of unsubs.
Unsubs?
Well, yes. People love that movie. Tom Hanks is a national treasure.
Yeah, he's absolutely a national treasure.
You know what Tom Hanks movie I need to watch is that Finch movie on Apple Plus.
Oh, with him in the robot?
The robot, yeah.
That was pretty nice. Yeah, it had an incredible robot. That was like a top five movie robot, like a wildly good robot. Very impressive.
Like Johnny Five, top five?
Yeah, I think better than Johnny Five. Like a very impressive robot.
Casey, what you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? Probably a review at some point as the month turns over, I think. I don't know if that's next week or later than that. And, you know, follow me on Twitch and Twitter, SigmaGears9. I do podcasts and live streams all over the place. I'm tired, so I'm going to stop talking now.
I thought you did great. I thought you really brought the energy right up into that last sentence. You can check later today. I'll be joining Yahtzee for the post-CP on 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. More weeb shit to shove down your gullets.
Yeah, as Nick transitions to Iceland, the amount of weeb shit on this channel will steadily increase.
Yeah. Entire stream that's just dedicated. That's what the next week's breakout topic is going to be. Is it cool if I fuck the skeleton? Is it cool? I know too. Usually we don't do two streams with me and Yahtzee, but 13 Sentinels is a game near and dear to my heart. So I'm excited. I also don't know what he thought about it. So I, like everyone, am excited to see his EP, which is when that goes up soon.
Yeah. 11? 40 minutes. Yeah, that EP is a funny one too.
Oh no. Did he like it? I guess don't tell me. I'll watch it. Yeah. I really hope he liked it. If he didn't like it, this is gonna be an awkward stream. I really hope he liked it.
I hope it's an awkward stream. Those are the best streams.
But I like it so much. It's so good. And then like Nick mentioned, tomorrow we'll be doing the Dino game, and then at noon, and then at 3, Casey and I'll be back for Metal Gear. Very excited for that. How much faith do you have in being able to beat Psycho Mantis?
I have faith that I can beat him. I have no idea how long it will take.
Friday, you also designed him.
He'll get beat eventually.
We will beat Michael Mantis together. We'll be able to do it. And then Friday we'll be back for Design Delve
on the Iron Oath,
a brand new really cool looking sort of like animated tactics game.
And your quest log drops for the public tomorrow,
and quest log on Jarberg on Elden Ring. Yeah, it'll drop for everyone tomorrow, so that's a fun video. As a good reference to a horrible moment in one of Casey and Nick's streams, where Nick murdered all my jar pals, which was heartbreaking. It was jar breaking. Oh my god! You can follow me on Twitch at McBiggity, the name below. I've been streaming a bunch of things. I'm about to wrap up Banjo Kazooie. I rage quit Banjo Kazooie the other night because the fucking end of that game is so bad. It is so bad. It's just the worst. So I don't know. Maybe I just won't finish it. Maybe I'll just go on to Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, show them.
Yeah.
By not finishing it.
I'll show that shitty burden bear. Yeah, it'll be fine. Thank you guys, as always, so much for hanging out, for watching us, for supporting us with memberships and donos. Obviously, that means a lot. It's so cool we hit the donation we hit the goal for the Lord of the Rings streams. So we'll be doing those probably sometime in late May after Nick gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, it was at the trivia game. That is exactly where I rage quit in Banjo-Kazooie. It's just bad. It's just the worst thing and the best game ever. So, very sad. For Casey and Nick, this is Marty. This was Breakout episode number 38. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you back here in a few hours for post-CP. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Peace.